IsraelSin.com.
So let's, on my right is Dr. Rabbi Moshe Dror. And Moshe, let's start with your hand.
Now, I have a question. It's a good Jewish tradition. I'd like to introduce it and use it. I just finished, again, this is probably the third time, Menachem's book on the future of art in the digital age. I got a question. Yitzchak talks about, this is my 10 minutes, okay. Yitzchak talks about the temple. The focus of the temple was to be in one place with a vehicle of whatever it was that was the connection was Korban, the shorish of which is Lekarev. So the Korban was, I take something that belongs to me, like an animal or whatever, and I do something, sacrifice it. So to go back, the word Korban is usually translated as sacrifice. The original meaning or the original derivation is that which brings close. Okay. Then the temple was destroyed. No more sacrifices, etc. It took 1,000 years until its substitute was developed in what we call the Matbea Shel Tefillah, the fixed ritual of prayer. Okay? This was with the Machzor Vitri in the 11th century. Basically, it was done by Saadia around 900, but the issue that I'm asking is the following. Is the tradition that we know of services, prayers, words, the last word of the Jewish way which it connects with God, or is it a vehicle and we are moving towards another vehicle? The reason I'm asking is twofold. There was an organization called Synagogue 2000, which dealt with synagogues in America in the year 2000. Then, when the year 2000 came around, they changed it to the year 3000. Synagogue 3000 is a very interesting group of people who are nearly all in their 20s and 30s. There's a renaissance of synagogues in America now, maybe even in Israel, but they're all outside of the establishment, okay? When they talk about Synagogue 3000, they're talking about 1,000 years. So either it's media hype, or there's something serious about this. I also brought with me this book, which is part of the community of NASA, Beyond Earth, about human space settlements beyond the planet. Now, right, okay, which Stephen Hawking talked about, and these are people who's visiting the city of Jerusalem now. Right, okay. Okay, now it's all coming together. Menachem, you spend half the book dealing with what I see as what Negroponte, the director of the MIT, Massachusetts Institute of Technology Media Lab, who talks about the shift from atoms to bits. The temple was a shift from atoms, animals, whatever was brought, to bits of information which were put in words, which were printed on pages that we use today, or even said orally. Now, my guess is, and this is what I want to put to you two, is that we are on an incredible journey, and in your book, Menachem, happens to be on page 110. You talk about the other vectors, and what Menachem Yitzchak talks about this all the time, is the tree of life, the Ilan. My guess is that when I talk about my world of Siberia, cyberspace, it's somewhere associated with the Sphira of Tiferet. The Sphira is the, I don't know, what's the Sphira in Hebrew, in English? Stage in the creative process. Ah, okay. Of Tiferet. Now, can we put together for the people in NASA and for these people who are building synagogues 1,000 years out. Now, why did I pick 1,000 years? They picked 1,000 years. 1,000 years is a general round number. But it took 1,000 years to get our Siddur of today. What's going to be later when we're talking about communities, virtual communities, when we're talking about consciousness transformations, and we're dealing with the stages beyond bits of information that are encoded in silica? Now it's in light. We're into the world of photonics. This is what Harav Kook talks about. This is what we talk about. This is what we play with all the time. So, this is my question. What are the questions previous to finding something that we can really do? Is what is it that we should look for that is, A, uniquely Jewish and uniquely spiritual in these bits of information that are turning into light that is reshaping our planet and the human condition beyond?
I think that we went, like you said, from atoms to bits, and where we encode information in non-material things. Like I wrote, you know, that the industry now sells bits instead of atoms. I mean, U.S. Steel used to be the biggest company, and Microsoft is 4 times as big and sells nothing, you know, and nothing. The big atom company is out there. I think, though, that I see a return to atoms, or the dialogue between atoms and bits. I think that, I mean,
is it high tech, high touch?
Yeah, I think that part of the Zionist dream, from my viewpoint, and is the fact that we've returned to a very physical world, and we in the Gola, we had to put everything in a sitter and put it in words, you know, and I never felt comfortable in that world. I mean, if you take Howard Gardner's stuff on multiple intelligences, you know, my intelligences are not the verbal, mathematical intelligences that the Galut Judaism demanded. And, you know, I suffered as growing up in a Orthodox environment, going to yeshivas where I had no place, and as a visual thinker, and I really feel very, very strongly antagonistic in a way to the encoding of our spiritual tradition in words, and I think that part of the Jewish dream of the future is a return to Eretz Yisrael and to the Bet HaMikdash HaShlishi. And I see Eretz Yisrael. I see as Eretz Yisrael as the Bet Midrash HaShlishi. I see the supermarket, the mall. That's where the spiritual is in our day. And I think if you go from Rav Soloveitchik, who says, you know, where in Ish Halacha, in Halachic Man, I mean, where is spirituality in Judaism? And he gives a whole list. It's in the factory. It's in the mall. It's in the wedding hall. It's in the bus, in the street. It's not necessarily in a synagogue. That's Rav Soloveitchik's view. The Rebbe Lubavitch says the same thing. I mean, the spiritual is, how do you take the material world and transform it into spirituality? This is the spirituality in Judaism is in the everyday, is seeing the everyday world with a new, from a new viewpoint. So I think that although Moshe and I have been talking about the cyberspace, and we just talked about the first time we started to, as a chevruta, studying together in the late 1970s, we're talking about these things. We were a chevruta at Columbia when I was teaching. He was at NYU, and we used to meet every week and talk about these same things that we're talking about right now. But I think that that there needs to be this dialogue. That's why I did that, like this biofeedback generated stuff at MIT, where you know where cyberspace and real space are in a dialogue, where you have a camera on the person and his portrait of himself keeps changing by his internal body states. You see, in other words, his own mind changes his image of himself. And so, you know, I built this way back in 1980 when I had to build the digitizers in order to do this. I had to build a digital video in order to do this, and with electroencephalograph and so on, and at MIT Center for Advanced Visual Studies. So I mean, it's this dialogue that's interesting to me, this flow between real space and cyberspace, between, you know, and I think that we were made to be. I mean, if you look at the beginning of the very first statement about the Jewish people in the Torah, you know, it's about kinesthetic psychology and vision. You see, what are the first words of the Torah about the Jewish people? It's Lech lecha me'artzecha me'moladetecha me'bet avicha ela aretz asher areka. You know, Lech lecha, walk into yourself. You know. Away from that thing that's familiar, your birthplace, your home, your father's house, and to the place that you'll come to see. So the verbal is not there. It's the kinesthetic and the visual. And it's related to seeing the world in a fresh way, moving away from that is familiar to a strange place. And then when you see the land, you'll recognize it. Eretz Asher Areka, you come. So you go from the movement, and movement not only could have been lech me'artzecha, it's not walk away or move from your place, but it's walk through yourself in psychologically and geographically simultaneously. Okay, b'toch atzmacha. Okay, and so you have within yourself, and so that it's this movement, and I think that Rav Kook wrote, you know, that we became blind in the Gola. Everything went into the audio mode. And because we couldn't see anymore, because Eretz Asher Areka is Eretz Yisrael, and we need to see this place, you know. And I think that
I take the role, if I'm not mistaken, I'm the only non-USA born person here. Yeah. In fact, I am the only Palestinian born person here. Are you a Palestinian born here? As well. Okay, so now we have this axis of two Palestinians and three Jews sitting here and deliberating how to celebrate the Hanukkah, because to my mind, what we are talking about now is about Hanukkah. Why are we talking? One thing is that in 1 week or less from now, we'll have to start lighting those candles. But the Hanukkah is to celebrate something that is quite ambivalent. Sefer HaMakabim was taken out of the canon. But still, the temple before and after was a different thing. And we remember the Hanukkah, the rededication of the temple, as Chag HaUrim, the festival of the lights. So here we have also some of these aspects of what you earlier said, atoms or materials and so on. And suddenly they came to emphasize the light, not just the word of God locked in a cupboard or so, the lights. And to answer your question, or to try to answer your question, I think we are building, or we are beginning to train in building tavniyot, patterns of lights, which means patterns of how people are connected in multiple ways together. I think the new paradigm, the new is a neuron, is a neural networks. Years ago, when I was studying cybernetics, nobody was speaking about networks but us. Now the word and networks is the most common. It's not just that you use the internet daily. He is doing networking. She is a networker. The idea of making a pattern of connections among people, each time in a different way to achieve different tasks. So vis-a-vis the temple, which was just this one place that wanted to subdue all the other Bamot, or vis-a-vis the multiplicity of synagogues, each one, you know, standing for its own little community. And you know the story about the Jew on a desert island, that he needs two synagogues because he needs one where he'll never set his foot in. There is some of this feeling among synagogues, you know, that it's either this one or that one. It's not that synagogues play together with one another, or at least I don't know about it, maybe there is, like football groups, you know, will become a national network of playing with each other. When I speak about the future temple, I want to base it on Jerusalem, on the earthly Jerusalem, because of the richness, because of the variety and diversity, and this problem of when will Palestinians and Jews become all Israelis. And again, I take upon myself to not to dwell on what is uniquely Jewish, but how can the Jewish transform back Chadesh Yamenu Kikedem to be the Israel, to be the 12 tribe nation, to be the one of diversity. And to my mind, a conservative or reform Jews and Haredi Jews and secular Jews are hardly the same people because they don't intermarry. So we do already have some tribes here. I see the temple, the one in the center of the old city of Jerusalem, as the one that does symbolically unite all of them, belonging to all of them. When we do not have access to the Temple Mount, it means that as yet we are not united, certainly not with the people of the Waqf who keep it, who are, I have books to show you here, are 80% or more of them are of Jewish extract and Israelite extract. But we haven't formed a nation yet. We are bringing all this beautiful or rich, sometimes painful, sometimes Jewish traditions and skills into a new type of thing of making this new entity of Israel in order to be a service, because the Lech Lecha was said in order to benefit humankind. Humankind is now developing to be one body, but it's a very critical thing. The main experiment I see about how to make humankind one is first how to make Israel one. This is the Bet HaSefer, the HaMakom. This is the place, HaMakom, as God said about Jerusalem. To train in these skills of building all those different patterns, Tavniyot, and exercise them. This holiday of Hanukkah is one for us to play with lights. I'm happy to be surrounded here with two artists and theoreticians of art who have done so much about light as a art medium. And my suggestion for this discussion is to think about this. You spoke about atoms turning to photons, which are bits or which are not bits. With this, how to bring our spirituality into play by tying with each other.
Yitzchak, we use the word light, but in reality, in the Hebrew tradition, yesh harbe orot ba'or, there are many different kinds of lights in light. It's obvious that the light of day one is different than the light of day four. I mean, that's obvious. But I want to go back to the question about the synagogue, because I want to know if I'm basically wasting my time in seeing that there are alternative ways of dealing with a sacred community, rather than bringing all the atoms in a building, like in a synagogue, or using a sidur where you talk about reflected light. But what we are all so hopped up about is emitted light. Emitted light is different than reflected light. One is left hemisphere operated, one is right hemisphere, all this kind of jazz. There's a whole study of right and left hemispheres. The brain is composed of two main hemispheres. When, this is what I understand, and the most well put together book that describes this is the one by Dr. Leonard Schlain, S-H-L-A-I-N, who's a surgeon, a neurosurgeon. If the alphabet versus the goddess. His point is this. For the last 5,000 years, we have been dealing with linear information, which was first spoken and then written. And when you perceive, when your eyes, the neurophysiology of your perception is of linear materials, words, texts on a page, it is perceived in the left hemisphere. Now, that's just the beginning. Because onto that, he builds a whole theory, and I think he's right. That's another matter. When you deal with images, music, sound, that is not linear, another part of the brain, the other hemisphere of the brain, the right hemisphere of the brain, begins to perceive them. And what's happening is television screens and computer screens from television screens, and even more so, the little cell phones, which are now becoming more and more popular, you're dealing with a different kind of light. That different kind of light impinges on the brains differently, on sections of the brains differently. And what is in effect happening is that we are rewiring the brain. This generation, Menachem, you are now a great grandfather. They are going to live in a whole different world. Their perceptions and their brain is going to be different. If it took 1,000 years, this is my point, to go from the temple to the synagogue, from the basic theory of bringing close through taking another object and sacrificing it to the words that I say, what's the next stage in virtual communities, in space colonization, and that kind of stuff, where you're dealing with many different kinds of lights? The human brain is an amazing system, which we begin to understand only a little bit. But I want to get back to synagogues, temples now.
Too late. Now okay. You have produced... now that you have introduced the brain and the rewiring of the brain by different modes of learning, I would suggest that the difference in wiring the brain because of this modality or that is much less than the rewiring of the brain that goes through the awareness that we have brains. I mean, as this is a new discovery. Humans used brains, but didn't know they had brains for most of their history. The science of neurology and the attempts to know what the heck is going on there is really just in the beginning, perhaps, of a 1,000-year scientific research program, which nicely that Israel is also in the forefront among some of the other researchers. But what we have with the net is also creating of this global brain, world brain. And we become suddenly not just the accumulation of billions of brain, of neurons that is now getting excited by this pattern or this word or this smell or this new idea. We are also one neuron in a large, large one of all humankind as one. And we are beginning to have sciences of neurology and cybernetics and so, which can make us aware of what is happening in its detail while it's happening. The amount, for instance, of data that can be mined from the internet, spyware, all kinds of things, all this added, people just do what they need to do. But other can mine from it whole patterns, how populations, how types of customers, how subcultures are being created, and can monitor it and see it as it is forming. So this is, it goes on several levels at once. We had these six layers in the neocortex, but now we have these layers of, how is it called, noosphere. Noosphere of the Mala'a Ha'aretz Da'at, Kamayim Le'yam Mechasim. The earth fills with knowledge like the ocean that is covering the land.